The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be program. The Bible speaks of being righteous. What is righteousness? Are you righteous? Does it matter whether you are or not? And of course, most Bible students will have heard of the term self-righteous. How do you know if you are self-righteous? If you aren't righteous, how can you become righteous? Paul talks about this in Romans. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 1, we read, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they may have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes." Paul tells us that the people of ancient Israel had a problem. They were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they tried to establish their own. But we aren't any better off yet because we don't know what righteousness is. Clearly, Paul is saying the same thing as a police officer that stops you for a traffic offense when you plead ignorance of the existence of a law in question. You'd quickly be told that ignorance of the law is no excuse. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 18, we will read that very plainly God is not happy if you are not righteous. And believe me, it is not a good thing if God is not happy with you. So reading in Romans, the first chapter, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Righteousness is more than a proper attitude, but it certainly starts there. Please turn to Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 9. You have all heard of the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. Christ tells us in verse 9, "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Verse 10, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" If you are not careful, you can easily misunderstand what Christ was saying here. The Pharisee did not extort others, was a just man, didn't commit adultery. In fact, he even fasted twice a week and tithed on everything he had. And God wasn't pleased. Give me a break, you might say. Well, let's understand. God does expect us to tithe, to be just, to fast, etc. So does obeying God's law make you right with God or righteous? Well, apparently not. Well, let's continue now in verse 13. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Verse 14 is telling us if we are proud that we are righteous and think that we are better than others who are not righteous, then we are not righteous. That is the same thing as saying, "I am really good. I know that I obey God. I know what God expects of me. I know his laws and I obey them. God must be pleased that I am not breaking his laws. After all, he isn't pleased when I break his laws. I could give you a list of scriptures as long as my arm to prove that." Well, we learn then that one important aspect of godly righteousness is to have a humble attitude. But we also learn that simple obedience to God's law does not equal God's righteousness. We know that God inspired David to write in Psalm 119, verse 172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." And back a few verses in Psalm 119, 138, we read, "Your testimonies, or your laws, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful." Solomon was correctly inspired to write that God's laws are righteousness. So, did Paul contradict Solomon in Galatia? There probably wasn't a human person alive who obeyed God's literal laws better than Job. In Job chapter 29, verse 14, we read, "I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked, and I plucked the victim from his teeth." Job learned that God wasn't pleased with an attitude that he had that was so proud of, well, because he obeyed God. Paul makes it very clear what Job had to learn. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, we read, "Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been the law." Clearly, obeying God's laws does not produce righteousness. Let's read again in verse 21. "Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." Continuing now in verse 22. "But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which afterward would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." So, back again to the original question. What is godly righteousness? Apparently, Abel was. Way back in Genesis, God says Abel was righteous. In Genesis 4, verse 4, we read, "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Abel gave a spiritual offering, and Cain only gave a physical offering. We read in 1 John 3, verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous." By now, you are way ahead of me, I am sure. In Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 4, we read, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." Paul helps us to better understand this in Romans, the 9th chapter, verse 30. We read, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, having obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." And Paul continues this in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 8, where we read, "Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." And continuing in verse 9, "Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Think about it. Does obeying laws produce righteousness? Well, we already know the answer, but in James, the first chapter, verse 19, we read, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Verse 20, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Godly righteousness, the desire, the motivation to keep God's law, can only come through godly faith, a gift that only God can give you. In Philippians, the third chapter, verse 7, we read, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead." Many sermons have been given over Matthew 5 over the years. I hope that a couple of verses will have renewed meaning. So let's read from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 1, where we read, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And finally in verse 10, where we read, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Understanding that being able to pursue godly righteousness is a gift of faith through God's Holy Spirit makes so many other scriptures so plain. Well, I see my time is about up, so you need to request our free articles, "The Law, Blessing or Burden?" and "Can the Law Save You?" If you forget the name of the articles, just call us and ask for article number 3. We will know what you mean. So call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675. Or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Or you may go to our website by logging on to www.thewayitoughttobe.org.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.